Glory to God. Is everybody doing good tonight?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. That was an astounding amen. I love that. I love to hear it. Amen. Even if you're not, you can get there by faith, right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You ever get to that place where you at least, well, at least I made it this far now?
Yeah,
right. Amen. Sometimes that's where we're at. At least we made it this far now, but this far is pretty good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I woke up today. My life was a little bit better than it was yesterday. Probably a lot bit better than it was. I don't know, but it was better than it was yesterday. Amen. So God's doing things in us. And I endeavor to see the things that God's doing in me. Praise the Lord. I hope you do the same for you. Hallelujah. You know, one thing is if we'd stay focused on ourselves, we wouldn't see so much of the other stuff that other people are doing. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, tonight's message is really going to be based somewhat around that. But you know, that just came to me, and that's true. When we're dealing with stuff on the outside of us, you know, the only one who can really affect our lives is the one, remember what we said on Sunday, right? Right here, praise the Lord, between those two points. And so if you can get that under control, man, you can master a whole lot. Bible says that anyone who has tamed the tongue is a perfect man. You know, you can't tame the tongue unless you first tame the mind. Amen. Praise the Lord. And if you learn to tame the mind, glory to God, you are a perfect man or a perfect woman. Glory to God. And so we're going to endeavor to be that. Tonight's message is called bodybuilding. Before I get into it much further, it was just on my heart to do this. I believe next week we're going to, instead of meeting here for Tuesday night service, I'm going to encourage everybody to go on out to Fredonia Church. We're going to go partake of what Pastor Michael has out there. It's not a special service. It's just in the sense that it's not a, it's not a special guest meeting or anything planned. But it was just been in my heart for a while to do that. And I think, you know, we've done it before, and I think that it's good to do that. So if you can make it out there next week, I know it's a little bit further for some of us, but some of you might be the same distance. But I believe that there'll be something good for us out there. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bodybuilding. We're going to be talking about building the body. And we're not talking about building the body physically, glory to God, but we're talking about building the body of Christ. The important things, you know, we're going to be talking about how God does it. But really, we're going to be talking about a certain aspect in it that would try to keep us from being what we're supposed to be. Amen? You know, it's going to, this message does slightly revolve around offense, but it's more than just offense. It's about connections. Amen. Connections, I have found, are the most important thing it's been the most important thing in my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Of course, my wife is my connection, is a connection with me. I'm a connection with her. Praise the Lord. Connections are just so incredibly important in our lives. That's what God will use to bless us. You know, when we're off by ourselves, you know, the devil always looks for the lone wolf. You know, Jesus sent his ministry out two by two. You know, and of course, we have lots of scriptures on that. Don't worry, Josh, I'm not going to go to the... Me and Josh were having a conversation. That was just a little joke. But that's just funny between me and him. Amen. We were just having a little conversation. But, there's a lot the Bible has to say about camaraderie, coming together, glory to God. Being together as a local body, being together as a unit, glory to God. And so there's there's a lot to that. Now, just so you know, Josh wasn't doing anything wrong. He brought a question to me. I feel like I need to explain a little bit now. He brought a question to me, and I believe that he was right in the question that he brought to me. Was just saying things accurately in Scripture, amen? And that's what we should be doing. We should be endeavoring to get into Scripture and see things accurately, amen? And, of course, he didn't come to me saying, Pastor, you're wrong, or anything like that, but he had some questions about it, amen? And we saw some good things, praise the Lord, and how the Holy Spirit will teach us. Amen. Individually too. Glory to God. But we're talking about coming together as a body. God made us a body for a reason. You know, a body has got many parts. We are all many parts to the same body. Amen. Now there's the body, of course, there's the local body or the church body, but there's also the assembly of the larger, the Christian body. That's kind of rough shape a little bit right now. I think our local body's looking pretty good. Glory to God. We're ready for weather. Amen. Hallelujah. In the spirit. Yeah. Glory to God. Yeah, can I have some of that? Praise the Lord. Just a little frog. You know, it's been raining out, so. Praise the Lord. So there's frogs out. Glory to God. I'm just checking to see if I had approval here. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 12:18. Glory, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12:18. I'll tell you, you know, as I usually like to tell you where the messages stem from. Yesterday, there was a celebration. It wasn't open publicly, but there was a celebration to celebrate Pastor Michael's 55th birthday. Praise the Lord. And so a bunch of people got together, and there was some, you know, opportunities to talk and stuff like that. But the reason I bring it up is because as I was sitting there, you know, it wasn't a message per se, but it was a gathering of believers, which is always a good thing. You know, how many know that you can get direction from the Holy Spirit at any point, any place? It doesn't matter. You just have to be willing to listen. Amen. And so as we were gathered together there, you know, people were speaking, they were talking about Pastor Michael, and they were sharing their thoughts on him and stuff. And you know, as that was going on, it really started settling in my heart. Something really started stirring in my heart, I should say, about the connections that we have. And the connections in life, you know, I just think about the connections that God has given me in life. And I think about where he's brought me from and what he's brought me to. And, you know, the connections aren't always, you know, the connections aren't always just in our presence. You know, I don't see Pastor Michael every week. I don't get to see him every week. And in fact, I don't get to see him, you know, maybe once a month. And a lot of those times it might be just in passing. So I don't get to see him very much. But I'm so thankful for the connection that God has placed in my life. You know, because connections go much deeper than just surface level, you know. You know, I have a lot of trees on my property. And one thing we know about trees is that there's a root system with trees, right? And that root system, you can't see it generally, you can't see most of it, but it's as big, they say, as the system of branches on top. And so if you took a tree out of the ground, flipped it upside down, stuck it back in the ground, it would look very similar in size and shape and stuff like that. And that's because there's more that's needed than just surface. We have to understand that there's more than just surface connections that are important to us as we come together as the body of Christ. And we have to understand these connections and how God has ordained them. Amen. And one of the interesting things about connections that bless us is that we don't always get to pick them. In fact, I'll tell you this, in all my good connections, I didn't pick them. Right. I didn't pick any of them. Praise the Lord. God picked them. And sometimes there were times I had to work through them. Sometimes there was time I had to give myself to them. Sometimes I had to submit to the idea that that's where I was connected, even though I didn't want to be. But we're going to see here tonight the importance of this. Amen. Glory to God. So we're in 1 Corinthians 12, over there in verse 18, it says, "But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased." Now, God sets the members of the body, when God does anything, you know, it says he did it just as he pleased. But how many know that God wasn't just randomly going, "All right, I got to find a place for Mark, so I'm going to stick him over here, and I got to find a place for Josh, so I'm going to stick him over here, and I got to find a place for Scott, so we're going to stick him here." That's not how God works. That God has a purpose and an intent. If we believe Jeremiah 29:11, how many of us believe that? Yes. Praise the Lord. It's good for us, right? Praise the Lord. So God's got a plan for us. And if that plan is to bless us, then we have to understand this, that all things that are connected to that plan are to bless us. Yes. Glory to God. Now, God doesn't do all things. And when I say, I hesitate these days on saying that God wants to bless us so much, because I don't want to make a gospel all about us. But we can't get away from this simple fact that God still wants to bless you. Yes. He cares about your life. Because, you know, here's the thing. If God's got a plan, and that plan is to help other people, even if it's to help everybody else, we have to figure this. You're that somebody else for somebody else's plan. Amen? I said, you're that somebody else for somebody else's plan. And so God has placed people in this world. He's positioned people in such a way that they will be a blessing to you. Amen? And we should be that, but we should make the most of those blessings. In fact, if we would start seeing our lives as a blessing to others, we would find the answers that we seek for our own things that we desire. Amen. We should look to bless others. God has given us the perfect ability to do this in understanding, in relationships. If you're married, then you have a perfect opportunity to learn how to bless someone else. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God, you know, the Holy Spirit will deal with you if you're willing to listen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't even know if I can say this because this is something that I'm not necessarily supposed to be privy to. But, you know, the Holy Spirit will give us direction sometimes to do something, even sometimes maybe that we wouldn't normally do or weren't planning on doing. But you just, you know, you'll just have that knowing, glory to God. And that knowing is to be a blessing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Not just for them, but for you. And we have to understand this, that God has set us in the body because he saw fit that it would be fit together this way. Amen. You know, there's a reason we have the number of appendages on our body that we do. The number of arms, the number of legs. You know, everything works together just so in a perfect human body. It's amazing the things that a body can do. If you don't know, you can just watch some YouTube videos and see some things that you're just like, how on earth would they do that? But they have the same body you do, albeit it might be smaller, might be stronger, you know, all these things. If somebody's doing some fanciful feats or something like that, glory to, not fanciful feast, hallelujah, fanciful feats, is that a thing? I guess so, praise the Lord. Well, if fanciful feast is a thing, then fanciful, praise God, hallelujah. But, you know, you have the same body. If you take the best athlete in the world, you have a similar, very similar body to what they have. Amen? Glory to God. Yeah, I mean, typically, what we're saying, obviously, there are people out there that, you know, don't have certain body parts and stuff like that. But the idea is we're not speaking of an actual physical body. We're speaking of a spiritual body. And so God has connected us to be a part of that body. And the body is joined and fit together for such a purpose as God has planned. But you notice this, that it pleased God. You know, when the Bible talks about God being pleased, I love different places where it talks about it. You know, when God looked on creation, when he was creating creation, he looked upon it and said, it is good. Amen. This, when he looked upon his son, when his son was being baptized, glory to God, he said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Yeah. And so when God is pleased, it's good. Yeah. When God's pleased, it means it's doing the thing that it was meant to do. You know, I've learned over the years how to be a pseudo electrician, and I've wired a bunch of buildings now, bunch of different projects. But one of the things that I've learned about wiring is that there's always this moment of excitement when you go to turn that switch for the first time. Because no matter how good you think you are, there's always times where maybe one thing was loose, and if you flip that switch and the lights don't come on, you know you did something wrong. But when you do that, there's a joy that'll come over you and say, it is good, praise the Lord. It works, and it's exactly, then you can move on with joy to the other another thing. Well, God has looked at his body, and he has said, this is how I've made it to be. See, we have to understand that when God has made things a certain way, that we need to do our best to embrace those things. Amen. Now, you may have gotten here from a bunch of different ways, but God brought you somehow. And the fact that you're here means that God wants to bless you. The fact that you're here means God wants to bless this congregation. Amen. But I'm going to tell you that with every blessing, there's also going to be opposition. The opposition that the devil uses is nothing new. In Ecclesiastes, it says there is nothing new under the sun, and that is so true. There is nothing new the devil's pulled, but he is very effective at doing the same things and convincing people of the same things that he has for years. And one of the greatest ways that he will try to do that is try to ruin your life is by destroying connections. And the number one way that he will destroy connections is by your offense. We have to guard offense. Amen. Now, the Bible does say, and I've often said this in recent times, the Bible says, woe to him through whom offenses come. So you don't want to be the one who's offending as much as it's up to you. You know, the Bible tells us to actually, I wasn't planning, I was kind of thinking about it, just came to me before service. But over in 1 Corinthians 10:30, verse 32, can we put it up in the Amplified Version? 1 Corinthians 10:32 in the Amplified Version. Look at this. It says, do not let yourselves be hindrances by giving an offense to the Jews or to the Greeks or the church of God. Do not lead others into sin by your mode of life. Wow. But look what it says. Do not let yourselves be hindrances by giving. So we can cause offense and be a hindrance to the body by accepting offense, by living in offense, by sharing our offense, by doing things that are offensive. Glory to God. And so our hearts have got to be peaceful, peaceable, mild. I said peaceful, peaceable, and mild. You know, remember, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. This is a scripture that we need to meditate on, that we need to give ourselves to, that we need to understand. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus dealt with offenses left and right. In fact, we see over there is at Mark 4, I think it is, in Mark chapter 4, the Bible tells us that Jesus could do no work, no good work except in his own hometown except heal a few. Glory to God. He could do it because they were offended at him. What did it mean to be? Now, what is offense specifically? Offense can come in many forms. Offense can be a form of hurt. You hurt my feelings. That's an offense. If I slapped you in the face, you would be mad or upset. That's offense. Yes, it's justified offense, but it's offense nonetheless. So we have to understand that offense isn't necessarily bad in of itself, but how we respond to it is. You know, the Bible tells us to be angry, but don't sin. Being angry, you wouldn't be angry unless you were offended. Amen. So in that case, you can be angry and not sin. You can have righteous anger. That's a form of offense. See, sometimes we look at offense, just think, well, offense is just when you're raging mad at somebody for no reason. That's not at all the fullness of what offense is. That's one kind of offense, but there's many kind of offenses. Amen. There's tons of different kinds of offenses. Why? Because there's tons of different kinds of emotions. We can be mad. We can be sad. We can be, mad, sad. Glory to God. Sad, mad. We can be, there's probably some others too. We can be jealous. Jealous can lead to offense. Amen. In fact, jealousy is often something that does lead to offense. Why don't I have that? And then that causes you to think out of line and get out of contentment. A lack of contentment is a form of offense. If we are not content with such things as we have, we are offended. Hallelujah. Now, it doesn't mean that it's wrong. The Bible says, having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Well, that kind of sounds like if you don't have those things, then you have a reason not to be content, right? Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like it's at least justified in that moment that you can do whatever you got to do to get those things. But that's a form of offense, and that's not necessarily bad. So we have to understand, we have to recognize what offense is. Offense is, I would say it's a form of an emotion. I don't know if it actually is an emotion, but it's like an emotion that if it's not kept under control, can go take us to the wrong place. We do not want to get offended. Amen. For the wrong reasons. Amen. We don't want offense to control us. 1 Corinthians 12:25 in the Amplified Version says, so that there should be no division or discord or lack of adaptation of the parts of the body to each other, but the members all alike should have mutual interest in and care for one another. There's only one person that can allow division in your life. And that's you. There's been a few times when my wife and I have had some intense fellowship that didn't seem like it was going to be quickly resolved. Amen? You ever had that? Some intense fellowship that didn't appear to be quickly resolved. And I remember this one particular occasion, my wife came to me and she said, I'm just not fighting with you anymore. I'm not going to be mad at you anymore. Just not doing it. You can be mad at me if you want, but I'm just not going to be mad. Do you know that took all the wind out of my mad sails? It did. My angry, lofty sails all of a sudden just went. It was like a balloon that instantly deflated. Why? Because as much as it's up to, if she was going to have no discord with me, then what discord could I have with her? Right? I mean, if she was just as mad, because there are times you'll have arguments, and I'm going to tell you right now, there are times you will have disagreements with someone of the opposite sex, probably your spouse, and you will not be able to solve it because one of you is a man and one of you is a woman. You are always going to see things just slightly different because of that. That's not bad. That's the way God designed it. He built in the possibility of having offense and dealing with it, didn't he?
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
If you want to have a happy marriage, you decide, am I going to have discord?
Yeah.
Am I going to be divisive?
Yeah.
See, this is why so many marriages fail, because one or both people just decide that they're going to insist on it.
Yeah.
I say one, too, because one can't affect the other, but if the other one isn't going to have the discord, eventually they get set free from the one who's being an idiot.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you're going to insist on discord, I'm just going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
If you're just going to insist on discord, and I include myself in this, there's times where I decide that I'm going to be an idiot and I'm going to have discord for just as long as I want it. But what does the Bible tell us? Prayers will be hindered. That means prayers, things I'm believing for, won't get answered. Things I'm after, I just won't walk into. Things I want to obtain, I can't get because I insist. See, the Bible says there should be no division or discord or lack of adaptation. I love that, lack of adaptation. What is that? A lack of adaptation comes in when you got to adapt something, it means it wasn't originally meant to fit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So you come up to a situation in your life and you're like, this ain't fitting for me. Oh, this ain't working. What does the Bible tell you? The Bible tells you to adapt. Yeah, that's what it means. It says adapt. You can't have a lack of adaptation. You have no excuse but to adapt. You're like, those people aren't adapting. It doesn't matter. You know the word. You've got to adapt.
Yeah.
If you know the word, then you've got to do it. See, all the Bible comes down to is this. Either you do, there's doers and there's donors. And if you're a doer, you'll get things done. And if you're a donor, you'll do what donors do, which is not anything. They just don't. Glory to God. They just never get there. Why? Because that's what donors do. They don't. Amen. Praise the Lord. Not donors, don'ters. That may not have existed before tonight, but it is now. Amen. We're going to be doers of the word.
Yes.
We don't want to be those people that don't. We don't want to be those people that fall in line just like constantly saying, oh, I can't. I'm not going to. I'm whatever. You know, you could sit there and look at an obstacle long enough to decide one way or another you're going to get around it. I'm going to go over it, going to get under it, going to find somebody to help me move it. I'm just going to run real fast at it so hard that I knock myself out and don't even think about it anymore. Whatever you got to do, but you can look at an obstacle and not go anywhere. You could be distracted by it forever. Amen. Some people are, and that's exactly what the devil, why he brings strife into your life, why the devil does these things. You know, the devil doesn't hurt you even just, or he doesn't bring or inspire people to do things in your life just to hurt your feelings. He tries to keep you from moving forward.
Yeah.
The devil doesn't care if you're alive. He just doesn't want you to move forward.
Yeah.
The devil is okay with a Christian who never does anything for God.
Yeah.
He is okay with that.
Right.
He knows he can't kill you.
Yeah.
He knows he can't, so he ain't worried about it.
Right.
So what's he trying to do? He's trying to get you to be a don'ter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to get him distracted. Man, this is so good, Pastor Jeff. Thank you. You're preaching real good. Hallelujah. I'm going to come over here, and I'm going to, there you go. Ha ha. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We don't want to be this person. I have been this person more times this week than I can count. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, listen, this is not a Pastor Jeff picking on you problem. This is a Pastor Jeff saying humans are generally stupid. Until they get the word, they're not going to get set free. Until they do the word, they're not going to get set free. See, we all do these things. That's why we need reminders like the word to tell us, and a pastor who will stand there not caring whether or not it's going to hurt your feelings. Glory to God. But caring about getting you the word, because this is the way through. This is the promise. This gets you into all that God has for you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we don't want to have a lack of adaptation of the parts of the body to each other. Amen.
Amen.
But we should have the same mutual interest in and care for one another. You know, when you have interest in something, you learn about it.
Yeah.
If I have interest in John, I'm going to learn something about him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
If I have interest, you know, like we talk about this all the time, stewarding the church. How do we steward the church? Well, everybody that's sitting here has been here for a while. How do we steward the church? Somebody new walks through those doors, we take interest in them. Yeah. Yeah. That's how you steward the church. Yeah. Why? Because if you take interest in them, they're likely to come back. Yeah. If you show no interest in them, they're likely not to come back. Yeah. Do you go into a place and think, man, I go into a place and I'm going to be miserable and Or do you go to a place where you will get miserable? You know what I mean? Do you go to a place where you're going to get opposition? If you go into a place and it's uncomfortable, you know, there's certain businesses that I would like to, there's certain businesses, local businesses, that I would like to partake of, that I would like to give my business to, yeah. But I won't because they make it weird, yeah. They make it uncomfortable, yeah. They make it miserable. Yeah. And the idea of going there stresses me out. So I'm just like, well, if I can go to Walmart and not get stressed out, that's what I'm going to do.
Yep.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And so, you know, we have to consider this as Christians. We need to consider this. We need to consider this as we're dealing with outsiders, but we also need to consider this as we're dealing with insiders.
Yeah.
If we make it miserable on our brothers and sisters, we're not having much mutual interest in them.
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
We need to show interest in them. But there's connections for a reason. Amen, and that's what we're talking about today. Turn with me to Ephesians 4:16. I love the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Ephesians 4:16. So now in context, just to put this in a little bit of context, I wasn't going to go all the way back to verse 16 because what I want to get to is later on. But I backed it up to verse 16, and in context, what we're coming out of is right after we're told about Jesus giving the ministry offices for what they're for, the purpose of the ministry offices. And we've talked about that a lot, so I don't think that we need to go on that right now. Amen. But we know that God wants to make us complete through them, right? So Ephesians 4:16, and it goes on to say here, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Praise the Lord. In this part of the text, you are not considered an appendage, you are considered a joint.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, what is a joint? A joint is a point of connection,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
A joint is a point of connection by which something moves.
Right.
Wouldn't you say that your elbows make your arms very useful?
Yes.
Everybody's fingers, if you look at your finger, you have more joints in your fingers probably than you do rest of your body in that small area. But don't we know that all the joints in the fingers, they make a really useful hand. You know, there's people I know that have had to have fingers, like joints, their knuckles fuse together so they can't bend them anymore. And they have to do that because the joint has gotten degenerated and stuff like that. And although it helps for certain things like pain, it doesn't help for mobility. How many know it keeps you from being what you're supposed to be? Because you need to be flexible, you need to be loose, you know. One of the things that we know is you start getting older, your joints can start not doing things the same way they did when you were younger, right? And so that can be a thing. Well, but here the Bible refers to us as joints. And I love that because notice that a joint is important for the piece that's connected to it. You're important for the pieces that you're connected to. The movement that your joint supplying the right thing, if you want to think about it, causes the body to be effective. But also, your lack of movement or stiffness, your stiffness keeps the body from doing what it's supposed to be doing. Think about that. And so if your offense is keeping you from doing what you're supposed to do in the body, you're not being effective, you're not being the blessing that you're supposed to be, and you're not getting blessed the way you're supposed to get blessed. Sometimes the answers to your prayers, and I'm not going to say sometimes, I'm going to correct that. A lot of the time, the answers to your prayers are hinging on the fact that you aren't hinging. that you're not moving, that you're not being an effective body part. You're being the knuckle that has to get fused together just to keep it from causing the rest of the body pain. You know, I've been working a lot physically the last few days, and I maybe pulled a muscle in my neck, you know, from lifting something, twisting, maybe I slept wrong on it, maybe it was a combination of them all. But this is one thing I know, when I have a pain in my body like that, I feel it through my whole body. The whole body knows it. It slows the whole body down, doesn't it? Folks, we need to understand what's happening here. We need to understand the lesson that we're getting here. This is so important. When you are being a stubborn joint, what you're doing by offense, what you're doing is you're keeping the body from completing what it's supposed to complete. You're being, remember the weak link? I said that recently. We talked about that. That's what you're doing. You're being the weak joint. You're the weak link. Amen. This is why it's imperative that we stir ourselves. We got to stir ourselves out of that place. We got to talk to ourselves with the truth. We have to preach to ourselves. We have to get ourselves out of the place where we're at. Because if you haven't learned yet in life, there's one thing that life taught me, and that's that nobody else out there is going to stir me. They might pat me on the back. They might say they're there. That's something I won't do. I'm not that kind of pastor. I won't be that kind of pastor. Why? Because that kind of pastor won't help you. A pastor who tells you they're there all the time when you're dealing with it. Oh, they're there. You just don't. Just do the word and get over it. Get yourself. This is how I got out of my offense. I just started doing it. And then when I get into offense and I get mad at myself, then I get into that place where things start getting hindered in my own life. And then the Lord reminds me, yes, you're an offense again. I'm an offense again. I need to get out of it. See, this is something we all deal with, but we all have to do it. Remember, offense isn't just being angry. Sometimes offense is being upset. Sometimes it's being sad. Sometimes it's just not liking the way things are. Sometimes you're just sick and tired of it all. Whatever the reason is, you have no excuse to stay there unless you don't want to go forward. Amen. The body of Christ needs you. This local body needs you. We need each other. Amen. Glory to God. Where was I? I didn't. Praise the Lord. Oh, I was just in the first verse, I think. Every joint supplies according to the part, every part that does its share. See, a joint only supplies if it's doing its share. Yeah. A joint that doesn't do its share isn't supplying nothing. Right. Do not be deceived. I think I read this somewhere. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. Yeah. Well, if you're not sowing anything. Well, wait a minute. But I've been giving my tithe. You're not being your supply to the body. Not if you're resisting. Not if you're being that hindrance. Not if you're being the stumbling block. Not if you're being, listen, other people need to come. That doesn't mean you're going to come in every time with high faith. You know, there's going to be times where we're weak in faith. But I'm just going to tell you, Christian, right now, I'm going to clean some things up right for you right now. If week after week after week after week goes by and you're still dealing with the same stuff, the problem isn't somebody else, it's you. I said, if it's week after week, or if the same thing keeps coming back around, same thing comes, how do I know this? Because I've lived it. I've lived it. The same offense. My pastor told me at one time, he said, I could set a clock to your offense. It would be every 3 months, I think it was. Every 3 months. I'd be fine, and then all of a sudden I was offended again. Have to have me back in the office. Get me talked down off of the ledge. Get me back out there. Start serving God again. Things would be going fine. 3 months would go by. Offended again. Listen, if that's an issue, you know, again, offense, we have to look at it, oh, not just being mad. Maybe the fence wasn't always the same. Sometimes the fence was being mad. Sometimes it was being hurt. Sometimes it was being sad. But when you realize that no man has control over your feelings, and if they do, ouch. If humans determine your feelings, other humans, then you haven't been set free yet. What somebody else should not control your feelings. Now that's easy to preach. It's so much different to walk it out. Just ask me when I'm behind the wheel on a highway in rush hour traffic on I-95 coming up near Washington, D.C. I'll tell you, praise the Lord, how other humans can affect my feelings. Yeah. Glory to God. It's the truth, but we have to deal with them. And what does that mean? So every time, I go back to that place of correction all the time. I'm constantly in a place of correction. Why? Because I'm a Christian. Because I'm human. Because I suck sometimes. And you do too. Praise the Lord. But what we have to realize is that we suck sometimes. Sometimes we're just not the most effective. The key is not being perfect. The key is just recognizing and saying, you know what? That's me. I got to get effective again. See, this is the one thing that drives me is not awesomeness, as much as you may want to believe that. But awesomeness is not what drives me. What absolutely drives me is an inward desire to get it right and not to be a failure constantly. So every time I fail, I don't get hung up on the fact that I'm always failing. I get hung up on the idea that I can get better. I'm going to get better. And see, that's what the grace is for. It's to come in because we're not perfect. And there's those areas that we're weak in. And so the grace comes to meet us, and that's what it's for. But we have to understand that it's us that takes us out of it. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. For the edifying of itself in love. See, I went back to verse 16. I probably shouldn't. I should have started in 17, and I wouldn't have spent so much time on it. But this is where we're at. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. See, walking an offense, in other words, making your decisions based on some sort of offense, whatever it is, making your decisions by some sort of offense is walking in the futility of your mind. If you make decisions if your decisions are constantly made by what's going on around you, that's the futility of your mind. Yes. I've learned that as a pastor. God's still working it out of me. There's even just today, the Lord was showing me some decisions that I made in the past that were made in the futility of my mind. I thought I was doing the best that I could, but they were. Now, was that God condemning me? No, He was pointing it out so I could correct it next time. You know, God will do that. He will point out things to you, say, you know, this was wrong. You could have done this better. It's not to get you all sad in yourself. It's to get you to look at yourself and say, oh, I can fix that next time. I can be aware of that. See, somebody who becomes aware of something and then doesn't do anything about it, that's like the worst kind. Or somebody who refuses to do something about it. Somebody who just wants to stay in that cycle. I know people. I could name people. Not even at this church, but I could name people. I know of one example of a person who could be super effective for the Lord, could do wonderful things for the Lord, but all because he's wrapped up in his own mind, he can't get there. He just won't get there. And it's just, then you just, they're there. That's all you can do for him because there's no help for him. You can't pray for him. You can't pray for it to change because until he's willing to change it, it won't change. Think about that. There are some things in life that unless you change it, unless you decide to change it, you will never change. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. See, this is perfect explanation. Living in offense and not dealing with connection or not keeping your connections that God has given you will keep you alienated from the life of God. So you want that life that Jesus talks about in John 10:10, but you give it up when you give into offense. I said you give it up when you give into offense. What I mean by giving into offense, I'm being very, very careful to keep going back over this stuff because I don't want anybody walking out of here, quite honestly, offended. I mean, seriously, I don't want anyone walking out of here going, well, you got to understand it. You got to understand what God is showing us. He repeats things for a reason. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. So your understanding will be darkened. You'll be alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. Now, we're told in Scripture that we have a choice on whether or not our hearts are hard and blind. Amen? Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off you put off. Concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. My God, people come to me left and right as I'm preaching this. People who have been sat in these services. I could point to some of you and you would know exactly who I'm talking about. There's different people in here. But I could just look around and say, and why wasn't it effective? Because they didn't put off their former man. They insisted on having the former man. I could almost probably go to every one of you and we could share an experience of someone we both know, glory to God. Just as I'm preaching this, these faces are coming before me. Not to sit there and condemn them, but to just say the word is true. That's exactly what's happening. Amen? Glory to God. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We see that again. Amen? And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Now, when it says neighbor, this isn't referring to your neighbor that lives down the street from you, although I'm not suggesting that you go lie to them. But this is all in reference to the body of Christ, right? The forearm is neighbor to the hand. The forearm is neighbor to the upper arm. The upper arm is neighbor to the shoulder. Amen? Glory to God. So, here it goes. Here's the scripture. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Now, wrath, you have to understand, is not just your anger, but it's that insistence on, I'm going to look it up. Right? Praise the Lord. Because we want to be accurate. God, I hope I'm right because I'm just throwing it all on the line right now. Praise the Lord. 4, verse 26. Okay, here we go. 26. Well, I'm wrong. No, I'm not wrong. It means 26. There we go. It's indignation, wrath, exasperation. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Glory to God. When we allow our emotions to bring us into that place of being exaggerated, you know what I mean? To that place where you're just so consumed with it. Yeah. Glory to God. That's what it's talking about. And so that's an insistence on its own way. It's an insistence on being the way that you have to be. Glory to God. Of having your way, of having it your way. You know, being so consumed with these things. Yeah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Forgot where I was. 26. Be angry, do not sin, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. See, I probably have to get bigger font Bible because I'm getting it closer and closer. Praise the Lord. That's a joke. Nor give place to the devil. By doing these things, by stepping into these things, by allowing ourselves these things, we're opening a door for the devil. We give the place to the devil. Right. Amen. Yeah. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. This is simple Christianity right here, but I'm just going to point out something to you. If you don't have a heart to give, you don't have a heart for Christ. Because this tells us that the reason we should labor, do you know? Jesus told us to allow him to bring our needs into his life. We're told to labor to give to other people. Think about that. See, people don't want to give. And I'm not just talking about like giving an offering, but people just want to be stingy Christians. They want to just build up for themselves. They don't want to put out. You know, one of the things that was talked about Pastor Michael, you know, Pastor Michael has some nice things now. He has nice cars. His wife has nice purses. They have nice clothes, stuff like that. But there was a time when he had absolutely nothing. There was a time when the trunk of his car, when he was driving to start the Jamestown church, he was driving up there every week, going up there to start the car. The trunk of his car wouldn't even stay closed. I don't think there's a person in here who has a vehicle whose car trunk won't stay closed. Praise the Lord. And here's the pastor, the leader. He's starting these churches, starting going out there in faith and doing these things. And doesn't have a dime, basically, to his name. Going through couch cushions. And then people look at him now and they get offended. Why they get offended? Because they get their mind on what they see. Glory to God. And then they make up in their mind the way that it should be. Instead of just saying, you know what, in the world, if somebody labors out there and builds a business that's really successful and it grows and it's big and all of a sudden they're, they have nice things, nobody looks at them, or generally speaking, I mean, some of the people nowadays do look at them and complain about it. But God forbid you do the work of the ministry and people see something you have and then they get they get offended because you have it. That kind of stuff is ridiculous. You know, we have to be mindful of what we allow our minds to do. But these kinds of things will rob us of our connections. Because there's always going to be something that, if there's something in you that can be offended, the devil will find it and he will highlight it in your life. I'm going to say this again. If there's something in you that can be offended, the devil will find it and he will highlight it in your life. And he will bring it back and bring it back and bring it back until you finally decide to come. And I'm going to even go further. I've learned this by personal experience. Even once you think you've conquered it, he's going to get sly and he's going to try to bring it in another door. Yeah. But see, that's why we always stay right. You know, in this past year, I went through a lot of things. I went through a lot of internal struggles, a lot of spiritual struggles. I had a lot of attack on me. And I had a lot of offense. There was even times where I was dealing with, do I even stay connected in this body? Not this body, but the family churches anymore. That's how great the offense came and the things were coming at me. And but see, this is the one thing I knew. See, and it came in a way that I wasn't going to understand. I didn't really fully understand it. But it came in a way that I thought I was being right. And in a degree, I was being right. There are things, you've heard me talk so much about being accurate. Glory to God and my desire to be accurate. That can take you in the wrong direction. Sure. Praise the Lord. It didn't take me in the wrong direction because I wouldn't let it. Right. But I'm going to tell you there was a temptation, a strong temptation to let it take me there. Sure. Now, you know, I got settled in things because I listened to the Lord. And the one thing that the Lord always reminded me is that he connected me. I didn't connect me. He reminded me what he did, not me. He brought me here. I didn't bring me here. Not here, but to this place. And he brought me through the methods that he brought me. And I have to trust that. Glory to God. Now, it'd be different if all of a sudden I start preaching some different gospel that's not the one that you heard, that you got saved on, that you got helped on. You know, if now I'm preaching something that's so completely different, heresies, stuff like that. You know, I start talking about how Jesus isn't the only way to heaven and stuff like that. If I start going down that road, then yes, you can disconnect. You know what I mean? That's a place to disconnect. But we have to do, and you know one of the things I love, and I'm gonna just brag on Pastor Michael some more. One of the things I love about him is his love. For such a stern man, somebody who can be so tough sometimes, but man, he is practicing and perfecting his love walk. And I love that. And he lets you see that. And it truly is a wonderful thing. Amen? And so I'm not just saying this to lift him up, but I'm saying it because it's the truth. But, you know, there's a right way to do things and there's a wrong way to do things. And I tried to stay right. In the midst of that, there was times where it was hard to stay right. I'll admit that. And for you, there will be times where it'll be hard to stay right because you're going to be distracted by lots of things. But you just say within your heart, you will not let go of truth, of what is right. And if you will keep that attitude and you keep honest and open before the Lord and just say, Lord, I just want to be accurate. There was one day I was walking the back of my property almost in tears, just saying to the Lord, Lord, I just want to be right. I'm not trying to be divisive. I'm not trying to be any of that. And see, that's the key, not being divisive, being connected. See, divisive disconnects. The opposite of that connects. Unity, being unified, being one. Being together, being of one mind, of one heart. Amen? Yeah. Glory to God. Praise God. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Glory to God. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You know how you grieve the Holy Spirit? Corrupt speaking. If it's not imparting grace to the hearers, it's corrupt. Listen, we're supposed to be Christ-like. We, you know, we want all the benefits of being Christ-like, but do we want to be uncorrupt in our speech towards someone else? It's a lot easier to talk smack about somebody, isn't it? It's a lot easier to pick apart what somebody else is doing, isn't it? I'm talking about, I don't care who it is. It's a lot easier to point to someone else. Like, listen, you've never gotten an argument and you sat there and thought about the things you did wrong. Tell me that. Yeah, I know, right? Every time you're in an argument, you look at them and you're trying to explain to them. You're trying to convince them about how wrong they are. That's why they call it an argument. You don't agree and they're doing the same thing. But if you just both realize you're both wrong on some level, why? Because you're angry. You're getting into sin. You're allowing it to go somewhere. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Evil speaking. You know, this word stuck out to me, and of course I wanted to get into it and see what it said. Evil speaking is literally, it's a lessening of reputation or esteem, especially by envious, malicious, or petty criticism. Belittling, disparagement. Petty criticism. What is petty criticism? It doesn't really do a whole lot. Well, I didn't really like the way they did it. I could have done it better. So-and-so, you know, I don't know why they picked that. I don't know why they decided this. I don't know. It's petty criticism. Yeah. What is all that stuff? It doesn't matter. What is it going to change by you criticizing somebody else? Yeah. Let me tell you this, because every criticism starts here. It starts in your own mind. Yeah. What good are you going to work out in your mind as you're tearing somebody else apart in it? We got to keep a pure mind before the Lord, and yet we're allowing it to be filled with all these petty criticisms, with this malice, this evil speaking, you know, where we just, we have no problem going to, you know, Mark 10:9, it says, and of course, this is speaking of marriage, but I would say it applies to everything. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. I would say this, if God has joined something together, you say, well, that's marriage, Pastor Jeff. Yes, that's context. That's what it's about. But if God has joined something together, why would we have right to separate it? If God said this is good, are we going to call it not good? If God says this is right, are we going to call it not right? See, this is exactly what's happening on the earth today, and this is getting in us. We're seeing this. God ordained marriage. But what's the world doing? Well, saying, well, that's not so. It's got to be different. You know, we can look at that, and honestly, I can stand in a group of Christians that, like you, y'all, well-taught, knowledgeable Christians. I can talk to you about these things, and you say, yeah, that's not right. But what about the other things that we try to separate? The body of Christ. God places each member in here as He sees fit, and yet people come and go as they please. People bounce here and there. They go to this church, that church. It don't matter. Don't matter which, as long as you go to church. That's like the dumbest teaching that anybody ever got out there. It's the devilish teaching that anybody ever got out there. You go anywhere. We've had people leave us. Every time they leave, it's offense. Every time. Never considering that what is being said that they don't like might be what they need to hear. But they want to stick. And I can tell you almost every single time that it come down to a matter of them sticking with their old ways and not willing to go into a new way. And some of the people have even been here for a while and listened, and they heard lots of things that blessed them and lots of things that changed their life. Lots of times they said, thank you, Pastor, I appreciate that. And then all of a sudden, oh, I didn't like that, but I ain't even gonna consider that. I'm not gonna hear what that says because, you know, I was taught this, or this is the background I came from, or this is what I know. That's just offense. It's a fence speaking loud. And the devil delivers it to him on a plate. And it's covered with sugar and frosting and all those things. And they gobble it right up because you know what? It tastes good, so it must be what I need to hear. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Why does God connect us? Because he has a supply and connections. Do you know one thing I know about that electric line? There's a pole out there that's got a lot more electricity than we'll ever use. Poles that carry a lot more electricity than we'll ever use. But if we ain't connected to it, it can go right by us. Yeah. Keep going right by us. It'll flow right by us. In fact, there was a time when there's a gas line out there. You know that's buried out there. Used to come to the building. Doesn't anymore because we don't need it. But we don't tap into whatever that power is. Now, we've deemed it better to have the electric power, but the point that I'm trying to make is all the power in the world can be going by you. All the potential power in the world can be flying right by you. But if you're not connected to it, what good? And what happens if you're constantly disconnected, constantly disconnected? You know, I bought a jump starter for batteries, you know, for vehicles and stuff. But one of the things it says, I went to use it. And I opened it up, get it out of the package. I bought it and kept it in the back of my Jeep for, you know, a couple weeks or something. And then I decided I finally needed it. I bought it because I might need it. Then when I need it, I hadn't opened it yet. And I open it, and the first thing I read is, you got to charge it for 12 hours before it'll work. Well, I need it right now. It ain't going to do me any good. You see, that's the thing. With people that are disconnected and disconnected and disconnected, what you do is you keep stopping that supply. When you could be getting charged up, when you could be getting juiced, you're allowing the offense to stop you from getting full of the energy that you need. And people are doing this. They're doing this constantly, and they're wondering why it's just their walk in Christianity is just so hard, because you're constantly disconnecting. Amen? Now, sometimes you can go for a little while on a charge. You know, they're trying to make all cars in New York State electric. Yeah. Like, do you remember where we live? Yeah. But they don't want you to go very far because they still haven't perfected that. I mean, you got to sit and wait for it to charge afterwards. I like pulling up to a gas station when I'm low on energy and filling up on more and driving on. Yeah. Now, maybe electric's better, but they'll have to get it better before I'm going to. Yeah, I don't have a problem electric. You understand what I'm saying? I want the ability to go. If they say, I got to go 3,000 miles, I want to know I can go the 3,000 miles. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. I know I'm going to get there and not have to wait. Yeah. Glory to God. Well, they have all kinds of things, you know, that, well, the more that you have to rely, praise the Lord, the more you have to rely on something else. I'm not against technology. Yeah. We love technology. It helps us. Yeah. But if we depend on this garbage, you've seen how persnickety it is. Yeah. You see how it, like, one day it wants to work, and the next day it says, nope, ain't gonna. We got a brand new iPad back there. Brand new. Never had a problem with a brand new iPad charging. Never had a problem with that one charging. Except for one Sunday. Was it Sunday? 2 weeks ago. Just up and decided it wasn't gonna charge. Just drained right down. Yeah, went right down to nothing. Didn't think anything of it. Tried every plug. My wife goes back there, tries every plug. No plug works back there. Take it home. Yeah, went home, charged fine. Brought it back, just does what it wants. I don't want to rely on things I can't control. I can't control God, you understand, but he's reliable. God never cuts the supply, so to speak, you know what I mean? Praise the Lord. What God has joined together, let not man separate. Amen. Glory to God. Have no offense. If you can't get your emotions under control, how do you suppose you are going to do anything greater for God? How do you suppose you're going to do anything greater in life? If you can't control your basic emotions, if you can't, you know what I mean by control? I'm not saying you can't have emotions. I'm not saying let's be a bunch of fake Christians coming in here. You know what I mean? Coming in here just being, oh, everything's always great, blah, da, 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 because we know it's not. But my point is let's not let it control us. We don't wake up. Like I said, if the emotions are, if they're digging into us and digging into us and digging into us, we need to dig back. We need to put up the stop and say, no longer. You ain't got place here. You cannot control me. I'm not going to let it. And then how do you do it? You sit there, you start with, I ain't letting you. I ain't love. What do you do if a Jehovah's Witness comes to your door? You close the door in your face, right? What if they open the door back up? You close it again. If they did it again, you probably push them out the door. You ain't gonna let them come in and preach to you some garbage that you don't that ain't true. Why are we letting the devil preach to us? We're letting the devil preach to us more than the word. We've been given everything. We've been given Christ. If he's given us Christ, how much more will he not give us all things? What do we have to worry about? What are we holding back for? Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 3:3. I'm going to close with that. For you are still carnal. Well, thanks, Paul. You are still carnal, for where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Think about it. Envy, strife, and divisions. And the Bible also tells us that where these things are, every evil thing is. That envy, strife, and divisions are the doorway to the devil. If you think about it just like that, then when division tries to come, you'd be like, nope, don't want it. Don't want what the devil has. Listen, you're taught well enough, you know what the devil's got to offer. It ain't good. It's not good. So I'm not gonna have envy. I'm not gonna have strife. As much as it's up to me, I'm not gonna have it. I'm just not gonna have it. Amen? And sometimes it takes some work. I'm not saying that. God knows that. And he ain't, listen, if you have moments, God ain't coming down here for moments. What God's after is the heart. If your heart is just constantly going back to it, well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. God's got greater things for us, and they're found in connections. We cannot lose our connections. And when I mean connected, I don't mean just to show up. Showing up's great. But how you... If you just show up to church, just show up to church, and just show up to church, eventually you'll be a person that doesn't show up no more. You got to be connected. When it's something, when you realize that you can't leave, do you know that? When you look at your life and you say, I know I can leave, but by doing so, I forfeit all the blessing that I've got in my life. Praise the Lord. And what do you got in your life? Well, I mean, if you're breathing today, you're better than those who aren't. You know? If you're upright, you're better than those who aren't. And when I mean better, you're not better than them, but you're better off. Amen. Glory to God. If you have any strength, if you're sitting here, if you were able to get here, praise the Lord. Those, you start with the little blessings, man. As you start working up, you'll start seeing them. Amen.